Mini episode 834 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 834. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Fargo episode 3.4. Our normal format is to examine the top five developments coming out of the last episode, but with it having been a chapter which will have so little to do with solving the case, a truly unique, almost standalone episode of Fargo, we're narrowing it down to the top three developments heading into 3.4. Number three, Gloria's trip not only extends the Fargo-verse to L.A., it also recalls other Coen brothers' projects like Bart and Fink. Whenever the Fargo series wraps up, it seems obvious that this past episode will probably go down as one of the most polarizing ones of any season. If nothing else, it was packed with a lot of goodies in terms of the casting, not least of which the outstanding Rob McElhaney as a cop that had a lot in common with his character on Sonny, including the impulse to give Gloria quite the ocular pat-down. We had seen Gloria learning more about her stepfather's life in episode 3.2, and the notion of her chasing down some leads having to do with his life during her leave of absence should not have been that surprising, but dedicating an entire episode to her hunting down the backstory of a character that we, the viewers, know has nothing to do with why he was killed is truly ballsy indeed. And again, it narrowed her focus considerably for the rest of the season, as she conceded upon returning home. Number two, the last few minutes were the only ones to drive the plot forward in a somewhat small way. The suspected killer of Ennis has been identified fairly strongly, thanks to fingerprints and his encounter with a guy who unwillingly supplied him with the phone book page. But as we know with Fargo, the real story lies in how the crime came to be. Next week's preview indicates that Gloria notices that Maurice's parole officer also has the last name of Stussy, which will mark the beginning of her true journey towards solving this case. Number one, Gloria's trip almost certainly won't have anything to do with solving the case, but it still mattered because of the unique nature of the Fargoverse. Noah Hawley, who has masterfully overseen the expansion of this great franchise from the original movie to the television anthologies, gave voice to the thought a few years back that these stories are all bound up in a common history of regional crime. Episode 2.9, The Castle, arguably the greatest Fargo episode ever because it successfully delivered on the insane buildup to the Sioux Falls Massacre, introduced a new storytelling device exactly along these lines. It was called The History of True Crime in the Midwest, and it furthered the narrative of characters being bound to their fate by decisions that had been made sometimes long ago. This frame of understanding is necessary to grasping the importance of Gloria's revelation in that seedy motel's bathroom when she discovered where her stepfather cribbed his new identity. She's going to be on the track to learning that he was killed due to mistaken identity, the wrong Stussy being pursued by an incompetent criminal. But when she gets to that point, her lessons in Hollywood will tell her what we the viewers already know, that his fate was sealed when he chose that name 3+ decades earlier. By the way, on a side note, no matter how heavy a drinker Thaddeus/Ennis was, the casting of his older and younger selves is a bit weird. It's hard to reconcile a guy who looked about 70 in 2010 with somebody who looked about 20 in 1975. However, be that as it may, and that the name change won't be a factor in solving the case, the unique nature of Fargo as a program makes it significant that we know how Ennis put himself in Maurice's crosshairs long ago. Because while solving the core crime of each season is the heart of the story, the details of the lives of the characters on the periphery matter in ways that they simply do not on lesser shows. In the end, Ennis went from a writer of acclaimed sci-fi that turned into excellent animation, by the way, to a tragic character in a book with a much wider audience, the history of true crime in the Midwest. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.